are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today, we're going to preview the Wolves-Blazers game that's coming up tonight at Target Center, of course. But we're also going to spend a little bit of time talking about the most recent trade rumor, this one being Robert Covington related. Thank goodness, and not another one of those Karl Anthony Towns speculative pieces that we suffered through here a couple weeks ago. In fact, let's go ahead and start there, as it's the first bit of trade chatter that makes some sense and seems to be legit. We've said for a long time here at this show, and others have said this as well, that Covington is clearly the Timberwolves' best realistic trade piece. They're not trading Karl Anthony Towns. There's 0% chance. Wiggins is, he certainly helped his value a little bit. I think the Wolves could get something in return for Wiggins if they chose to trade him, but I don't believe that that's a priority at this point with some of his improved play and also just the return that they could potentially get for Wiggins probably isn't enough to cause Rosas and his team to spend too much time exploring that opportunity, although I'm sure they'd listen. That means Robert Covington, he's the most valuable trade piece. He's essentially a bargain at between 10 and 13 million for each year over the next 3 years, two more years after this one. He's still arguably one of the league's best two or three 3-and-D players, even coming off of the knee surgery from last year, the meniscus injury. And he's been playing a lot better of late versus how he'd been playing earlier this year. Clearly, he's almost a year removed now from the injury. He's still not a year removed from the surgery, but is clearly playing a little bit more like he had been pre-surgery. The defense, individual defense, isn't maybe quite back yet, and hopefully he continues to retain some lateral quickness. But at any rate, he's still a solid one-on-one defender and a great team defender and a good three-point shooter. He's actually cut to the basket a little bit more this year than I think he has in prior years, and he can be valuable in that sense too. He's not going to create his own shot, but he's basically that's what the Lakers want. And the Lakers are the at the forefront of this rumor. It's what really any contending team wants is a guy who can be the third or fourth best player, probably fourth best player on a good team, probably start, play, 25 to 30 minutes and provide high volume, above league average 3-point shooting and really good defense. And that's exactly what Covington can do. And at a bargain price compared to what a lot of teams have paid for similar or even worse production. And of course, the Wolves are only two games out of the eight spot, but they're also like 14 and 21. My guess is that they still keep Covington because I think Gerson Rosas he's obviously extremely smart, and he knows that there's a higher probability of the Wolves not getting enough value in return, when it's all said and done for Roko, then they would have to just hang on to Roko and hopefully build around Towns with some additional pieces and be even better next year. On the other hand, if they can cause a bidding war for Covington, which is something that we'll talk about here in a second, then trading him might make some sense. I mean, remember, the Wolves are 14 and 21, and they probably are realistic enough to not see themselves as a true playoff contender, although they're technically still in the conversation. So it'd be foolish to not capitalize on assets, and it's likely Roko's worth more now than he will be at this time next year. Although, if he's still coming back from his knee surgery and plays better over the next 12 months, he'd still have a year plus left on his deal if he were traded at next year's deadline. The rumor was started back up by ESPN's Kevin Pelton and Bobby Marks on ESPN.com on Wednesday. The article is actually all about the Los Angeles Lakers and trying to acquire another starter that fits their roster, and essentially talking about how Kyle Kuzma is their only plus trade chip. The Lakers don't have any first-round picks to trade. They don't have any second-round picks that they can even trade until 2023, which is, of course, 3 years down the road. And the article kind of takes a turn partway through. It's essentially a conversation format between Pelton and Marks, and they talk about how Covington should be option 1A for the Lakers. The problem is that the Lakers don't have any contracts they can trade. All the guys with sizable contracts have player options for next year, which means that they can veto trades. They're not likely to be too excited to veto a trade from one of the league's best teams playing with LeBron in LA to go to Minnesota, who's not going to be a playoff team. So that basically is Kyle Kuzma, who is an attractive trade chip. He's a good player. He's a young player. He was really good last year for a stretch when LeBron James was out. He's been less a part of the Lakers' rotation this year, of course. His minutes have dipped after averaging over 30 minutes a game the last couple of years. He's now averaging 23 minutes a game, 12 points, just under 4 rebounds for the Lakers in a complimentary role. Last year, he averaged 18.7 points, 5.5 rebounds a game, and he only shot 30%, 30.3 from beyond the arc. For his career, he's just under 34%. That seems about right. So roughly league average from three. He's just an okay rebounder for his size. He's essentially a little bit of an undersized stretch four who's just an okay shooter. There's still some value there. Obviously, there's upside. I mean, he's only 24, but he's not. First of all, they can't make the trade straight up anyways because he's only making a couple million dollars. And Covington, basically the Lakers need to get to, I think it's roughly $13 million in order to take Covington back. So the proposal from the ESPN guys is pretty much that Kuzma is the centerpiece of the deal. And then the Lakers would have to pitch in Quinn Cook and DeMarcus Cousins. Of course, Cousins is hurt and Quinn Cook is making $3 million this year and has $1 million guaranteed next year. So he could actually be released in the summer. So basically the Wolves would be making this trade for Kuzma. Cousins would be a free agent after he expires this summer and of course wouldn't play this year. So the Wolves would be making the deal for Kuzma and just a little bit of additional cap space in the summer, but it's not a lot of cap space. And the question is the potential upside of Kuzma, which is probably not all-star level, maybe borderline all-star level, and the fit with Kuzma next to Towns worth giving up their best asset in Robert Covington? My answer is no. I think that Kuzma is an okay fit with Towns, but I don't think he's a good enough shooter to be a truly, or rebounder for that matter, to be an ideal fit. His style of play is probably pretty similar to what the Wolves would want near Towns, but he would really need to develop both on the glass and in terms of shooting the ball from the perimeter if this trade would make any sense for the Wolves. He's a pretty good defender, and so that matters, and that would be really nice to have that at the four. I mean, it would be the Wolves really haven't had that. I mean, Covington's obviously a good defender, but in a different way. He's a little bit smaller than Kuzma, and Kuzma would be a little bit of an upgrade rebounding the ball, but it just doesn't make any sense for the Wolves to basically downgrade the position in the moment for a shot at Kuzma maybe being better than Covington down the road. But then the other thing is the Wolves would have to extend Kuzma and actually pay him. So I don't think that this is a trade that Rosas is going to be too excited to make. I'm sure the Lakers have already floated it out there for the Wolves because the salaries match up almost perfectly, and it's really their only option salary-wise is that trio of players. So I'm pretty confident that that's already been discussed, and I'm also pretty confident the Wolves have told the Lakers to kick rocks. There's also the possibility of a three-team trade, which is mentioned by ESPN. That's a real possibility. I do think the Wolves would trade Covington if they are able to create a real bidding war. And if Covington ends up going to the Lakers with a third team getting Kuzma and sending some value, whether it be a young point guard or a first-round pick and a couple of promising players to the Wolves, that's something Minnesota would almost surely entertain. But again, and this is correctly identified, I forget which one of the two guys said it in the ESPN article, but the Wolves just have to weigh the options of two more years of Covington as one of the league's best 3-and-D players at a good price. Is if the Wolves really think that they're building around Towns, Covington's a perfect fit. Does it make sense to move him? Are you making any progress, or are you just standing in one spot and treading water if you trade him for some additional pieces? I think if you get some promising players in a first round pick or something, maybe it's worth it. My gut tells me it doesn't happen. I bet there's tons of rumors, but Rosas has all the leverage here. There's no reason for him to trade Robert Covington. Don't be shocked if he opts to keep him and then maybe next year at the deadline if the Wolves aren't contending, but that buys him another 12 months. If the Wolves have a promising finish to this year and a great start to next year, maybe Covington never gets traded. I think that really all the options are on the table for Rosas, and I think that that you know there's no reason why he needs to pull the trigger earlier than he wants to. All right, next up we are going to talk about Wolves Blazers. First of all, I wanted to mention MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, before we get too in the weeds with Wolves Blazers, just to put a bow on the Covington conversation, my prediction is that there's plenty of rumors about Covington over the next few weeks. The trade deadline's about a month away. And I bet that there's some deals that are enticing, some potential three-team deals. I don't think there's going to be enough offered for Rosas to trade Covington. I think he's on the Wolves at least until the summer. Maybe there's a deal in the summer that comes together. You know, if there's a potential, I don't know, if there's a draft prospect that the Wolves are interested in, or there's teams trying to make space prior to free agency, the Wolves could pounce and make a deal with Covington and probably a multi-team deal at this point. I think my best guess at what happens is that Rosas just kind of bides his time, barring injury. You know, hopefully that doesn't happen for Rocco. Covington's value should go up in the next year as he continues to get healthy. He'll still have 2 years after this one on the contract. So I think it's pretty likely he's on the team through the season, probably through the summer. And my thought is next February trade deadline is when he might get traded. All right, let's talk Wolves Blazers. This is only the second time the Wolves and Portland have faced off this year. The first time was at kind of near the start of that long losing streak. The Wolves and Blazers played in Portland last time around. Portland won that game fairly easily. It was kind of weirdly, it was the end of a really strong stretch for them. It was their fourth win in a row and fifth in six games. Since then, the Blazers went out and lost five in a row and overall have lost six of their last eight, although they did win in Toronto last time out, which is obviously an impressive win after getting beat before that in Miami by 11. So the first time around between these two teams, the Wolves got a big game from Andrew Wiggins. This was just prior to him going out with his illness, a couple, I guess, maybe three games before that. Wiggins had 33 points on 13 of 24 shooting, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. He did have 5 turnovers, but he was the best player on the floor for the Wolves. A close second was Jeff Teague, who had 18 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting, a perfect 2 of 2 beyond the arc, only 2 turnovers. He came off the bench, played 27 minutes. Shabazz Napier started and had 18, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, was 4 of 10 beyond the arc, was decent against his former team. So the Wolves played a lot of two-point guard offense in this game, or two-point guards on the floor, I should say. Obviously, that works against a team like the Blazers, who plays Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. It worked out well-ish for the Wolves. They only ended up losing by 7, and both Napier and Teague had good offensive games. I still think it limits them defensively, even though you can go small to match the other team's small lineup. Teague's been pretty bad on defense this year, and I'm not sure that that's the exact route that I would go, although it did work offensively. So we'll see what Saunders chooses to do going into this game. Rocco and Gorgui Dieng each had rough outings. Gorgui had 15 and 12, but he shot 3 of 12 from the floor. All three of his makes were from beyond the arc, so he was 0 of 5 inside the arc, 3 of 7 beyond it. He made all 6 of his free throws, so he did have the 15 and 12. Rocco had just 3 points and 5 rebounds, shot 1 of 6 from the field in 30 minutes. So another one of those games, like the one against Milwaukee, where he barely squeezed the trigger at all, and when he did, he didn't make the shots. He also only had 5 rebounds in 30 minutes. So they'll need more from Covington in this game. It'd be interesting to see how much of both Teague and Napier we see in the backcourt with as well as Jared Culver has been playing of late, and especially defensively. My move would be to play to start Napier and Culver, which I'm sure that they'll do. They've done it the last few times out. Let Culver have a shot at guarding probably Lillard, actually, and and have Teague check, or excuse me, Napier check McCollum, and then play Teague off the bench. Maybe you play Teague and Napier together for some stretches, especially depending on how Culver's playing. But I don't think that they should overplay the two-point guard lineup, even though that it's a good excuse to do it. If you're going to do it, the Blazers are a team that you could have some success doing it against, because that's effectively what they do. As far as the Blazers so far this season, they're one game ahead of the Wolves in the standings at this point. So since then, the Wolves have gained a couple of games. They're one of the five teams that are within two games of the eighth spot. They've gotten a strong season, of course, from Damian Lillard. Hassan Whiteside has been very good for them as well. CJ McCollum has not had the type of year that the Blazers were expecting. I mean, he's averaging, the stats are there, and he's not, you know, he's shooting the ball okay from beyond the arc. He's at 36.5%. He's still averaging 22 points a game, four rebounds, four assists, but he's not getting to the free throw line. That number has been dipping the last few years for him, and that's the biggest issue, is he's comfortable just launching jumpers and hasn't been super effective at getting to the basket and ultimately getting to the free throw line. So that has been a little bit of a detriment to the Blazers. They also won't have Skyler BCA. He recently got hurt. He was pretty clearly their best player off the bench, and he's out for the next few weeks with an injury. He had a good game against the Wolves last time around, had 11 points, 8 rebounds, a couple of blocks and assists, and 26 minutes off the bench. But he will not be playing, so that will help the Wolves out a little bit. The Wolves, of course, will be without Jake Layman once again, facing his former team. He's been listed as out already. The Timberwolves PR injury report that came out late Wednesday did list Karl Anthony Towns as questionable once again, which I think he's been questionable for every game but one or two in the past 13. So don't expect him to play. I think when he finally does play, there will be a little bit more, lead up to the game where it's clear that he's going to play. But who knows? Maybe we'll be surprised. All right, next up, we are going to put a bow on the wrap-up for the preview for Wolves Blazers. Take a peek ahead at what's on tap for the Wolves this weekend. Thursday night is certainly a winnable game for the Wolves against the Blazers. As I mentioned earlier, Portland has not played well of late. The win in Toronto the other night notwithstanding, but they especially have struggled defensively. They don't have many strong defenders on this team overall. Skyler BCA was one of their better defenders. He's out. The injury to Rodney Hood with the torn Achilles out for the season obviously hurts quite a bit on both ends of the floor, but especially defensively. Kent Bazemore is their best perimeter defender, really their only perimeter defender, and he plays limited minutes off the bench in what's supposed to be a 3-and-D role. He's been really good defensively, but he's only shooting about 34% from beyond the arc, actually a little bit, 34.9%, but overall 35.5% from the field, and he just hasn't been, in terms of, I mean, what his role is supposed to be, he hasn't provided enough offensively for the Blazers, and is part of the reason they just don't have perimeter defense or consistent enough three-point shooting for them to be a true playoff team this year. To provide support for McCollum and Lillard, who obviously struggle a little bit defensively, both of them do, a team like the Blazers needs to have more perimeter defenders. It's one of the reasons they went out and got former Wolf Anthony Tolliver this offseason. Tolliver's primarily been in a bench role. He did start the game against the Wolves a couple of weeks ago, but he hasn't really done much this season either, and he's an okay perimeter defender, as Wolves fans know. He can step in and guard perimeter guys, but he's more of a stretch four who can guard, you know, threes that aren't quite as dynamic. He's shooting just 34.3% from beyond the arc. And if Tolliver's not hitting much closer to 40%, he's not really a valuable player to be in the rotation. So really the Blazers are all about McCollum and Lillard. A little bit of Hassan Whiteside can contribute in the paint, and he's a solid paint defender as well. But there isn't much else. Carmelo Anthony has been mostly healthy. He didn't play last time around against the Wolves. I would expect him to play in this game. He is averaging 16.5 points, 6 rebounds a game, shooting 41% from three still. And he's, at this stage, a defensive liability and, is basically their third piece on offense. He's averaging more points a game than Whiteside since he's come on board and has become kind of that third option, especially now with Rodney Hood out, of course. So otherwise, the Blazers have a bunch of younger bench players, Anthony Simons, Gary Trent Jr., obvious there's some Minnesota connections there. Mario Hezonja didn't play in the game against the Wolves, but he's seen some run off the bench as well. Kind of an athletic, dynamic guy who's struggled to be efficient offensively. And also, he's a pretty good defender, but he isn't always as consistent on that end of the floor. So the Blazers are a team that certainly can be beaten. If McCollum and Lillard are forced into having high usage off nights, then the Wolves should have a real shot to win this game. With no Labissiere off the bench, obviously no Rodney Hood, this is a very winnable game. The one issue, of course, to look out for is that the Wolves have really struggled against high usage point guards, and really, I guess, guards in general, which is exactly what both McCollum and Lillard are, and they both excel in the mid-range. Lillard can get to the rim. They can both shoot the three at above league average. They're not exactly sharpshooters, but they're good enough to you have to go out and guard them beyond the arc. As Wolves fans know, I've seen Lillard make tons of deep threes against them over the years. It feels like he's always stopping well behind the screen and popping three-pointers with the Wolves unable to get out and guard him. He's launching 9.5 threes a game this year. McCollum is shooting 7 a game, and nobody else on the Blazers is shooting more than 3.9, and that's Carmelo, who's shooting 41% from out there. So even though guys like Bazemore and Tolliver are having kind of not up to par seasons from beyond the arc, the best players on the Blazers are still going to launch the three plenty, and the Wolves need to know that they have to get out there and guard them out there. If McCollum and Lillard can be forced into tough shooting nights, if they are forced into at least somewhat contested mid-range jumpers, or if Lillard has a tough night at the rim or something like that, the Wolves have a real shot at winning this game. Don't be surprised to see another close game between the Wolves and Blazers. The Wolves have just overall better depth than Portland at this stage. Even without Towns and Layman, I would say the Wolves have a deeper roster, but Portland's star power is enough that they probably should be favored to win this game. And, it would be a nice win for the Wolves. It's also important from a standings perspective. I think we still have to talk about that, even though the Western Conference is a jumble and the Wolves don't feel like a playoff team. Portland's one game ahead of the Wolves in that race for the 8 seed, and they've, of course, won the first game between the two teams. There are 4 games in the season series between the Wolves and Blazers, and so this game is important to try and even that series up. They don't play again until mid-March, and then they play 2 times in 5 days in March. So this would be an important game for the Wolves to kind of hold serve against Portland in their season series, and then also kind of keep them in the conversation, entering play. They'll be 2 games back from the Spurs with several other teams included in that conversation for the 8 seed, virtually tied with the Kings, a game behind Portland and Memphis, who of course they've lost 3 games to, and then 2 games behind the Spurs. So, and also it'll keep them ahead of the Suns. They're only half game ahead of the Suns at this point as well. The Wolves are. So, look for a good game. If McCollum and Lillard can be held in check somewhat, the Wolves will have a shot to win this one. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. We will be back on Friday morning to recap Thursday night's game, look ahead at the weekend, and what's on tap. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. We'll catch you next time.